Blog Talk Radio.
Episode of the Mike and the Show here on blogtalkradio.com. It is Tuesday night, as we usually do it all every Tuesday night, though. January 31st of 2017. Ooh, man, the whole month that went by? Okay, I can live with that. I'm your host, Mike Henderson, broadcasting live from the DFW Metroplex area, the great state of Texas, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Mike Henderson. With me are my two lovely, wonderful co-hosts, Vanessa Eccentric McCarroll and Crystal Senegal. How you doing, ladies?
Awesome.
Don't everybody speak
great.
Don't everybody speak at once. Okay. No. Tonight, huh?
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
You sure?
Yes.
You're positive. Okay, I'm just checking. I gotta check in. You know, I got ladies on the hook. So tonight's episode is called Infidelity and the Side Piece Syndrome, Fad or Norm? And the question is, has society embraced and accepted the idea of the man / woman on the side? Is the value system in relationships so eroded that the addition of another person has become a mainstay in our modern society? We know of the obvious minuses, but are there actually pluses to being the side piece? I'm curious. I just want to know. But anyway, before we get moving with all of that, though, Crystal, where'd she go? I lost her. Okay, well, she'll be back. She'll be back in a minute. B?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. I was wondering, like, is there a delay or something like that? Maybe it is because you're way over in Atlanta and I'm here. You're in Texas. Let's tear into this, though, because I got to see what's going on with Crystal real quick. But anyway, a whole lot has gone on over the past week, though. It's just been busy. It's been crazy. Oh, that's you. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Crystal.
Hello.
Okay. Minor difficulties, but we're okay, though. Crystal's a Texan now. Yay!
Well, I've always been a Texan, but I came back.
Okay, but she's a Texan that came back. Wasn't in Atlanta, but now she's back
Dallas.
In Texas. And yay. Okay, so we can whip her a party later. Anyway, everybody's been paying attention in the news, right? And I'm going to speak briefly about the Muslim ban, which I think is nuts. I think it's very short-sighted, and I really think that he pretty much is going out of his way to piss off everybody. And you would think that you would have a little bit of foresight when it comes to actually dealing with something of that magnitude, though, because there's going to be repercussions. You can't just slam the door on an entire group of people and not expect any backlash. And he's getting it. He's getting it directly from Iran. He's getting it directly from groups here. He's getting it directly from, even insiders, though, and some Republicans, though. But once again, the problem I have is with every move that he makes, though, as vile or as unconstitutional or even just flat out wrong, nobody stops him.
Right.
Because now, instead of being president, he thinks he's some kind of king.
Well, I don't think he is the one that's coming up with all this. I think it's Steve Bannon.
Yeah, another scary white dude. who, if it really actually boiled down to it, though, would probably get his ass kicked by half the people he's trying to cut off. Yeah, I said it. Once again, you got like a bunch of, to me, it's like the cowards are in power now. And a lot of people want to try and justify, well, he's just trying to keep the country safe. No, he isn't trying to cut it off, because scary people do that. Cowards do that. They separate themselves from everything. Like, think about it. Have you ever like seen a situation where a woman was involved with a man and the man cut off half the planet? You know, cut out her associations and everything else as well. She couldn't associate with anybody. She couldn't be with anybody, talk to anybody, family, friends, what have you. He actually just stopped everything.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a coward.
He's just a bully.
Yeah, a coward and a bully, because you just want to actually just separate her from everything else and everybody else because you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only person you actually want to be big and bad and brave in is her. You know, and full damn well you'll never do it to anybody else. That's a coward. And I'm sorry, Steve Bannon's a coward, Trump's a coward, and everybody that actually follows Trump's a coward, period. If you really want to wind up actually going after, like, without terrorism and all that stuff, too, like that, you need to go get it at its source, though. As far as, like, trying to protect everybody else as well, though, you know, please, couldn't do it if you wanted to. And to be totally honest, though, and whether or not people want to understand this, like, there have been more attacks by white people on American soil than there have been by terrorists. Have been. And that's a fact. So when they start that, well, Muslims are this and Muslims are that, like the Starbucks crap they're talking about. Like, you know, Starbucks is talking about hiring, like, you know, 10,000 refugees. And they're talking about, well, why aren't you hiring, like, why aren't you hiring veterans? They already have. Matter of fact, they've already hired like 8,000 and counting. So everybody wants to turn around and justify their own messed up fears because they're scared. I'm not scared of a single solitary individual on the planet, let alone a Muslim. And me being black, I don't think I'm really that worried about Muslims. I'm more worried about crazy people that want to actually think that, I'm more worried about white supremacists than ISIS. But anyway, that'll be a whole other story, though. So let's get into the fun. And that is, now infidelity and the side piece syndrome. Now, here, I'm going to tell you why I actually came up with this. Because I had a conversation with a friend of mine talking about that, you know, the side chick, the side dude thing. And it's, like I said, like it's more prevalent now than it was 30, 40 years ago. Even though I know for a fact it probably existed back then as well, though, but, you know, I talked to Crystal about this as well, but, you know, that it's more prevalent now because back then it wasn't, A, it wasn't socially acceptable. B, you kept it under wraps.
Well, men cheated on their wives back then. It was always, mm-hmm. it's not like it's more now. They did it then. They were just quiet about it back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying that there's more now than it is then, though. It's just more socially acceptable. It seems like it's more socially acceptable now. You know, there are people out there that actually aspire to be side pieces.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand that at all, though, because I'll be damned.
That's low self-esteem.
No, I mean,
but
can you see an upside to being a side piece?
Actually, the upside of being having a long-term affair. I don't know about being a
side.
That's not
what
we talking about. Well, because affairs are different. Like, if you have, we talked about this, Vanessa and I,
mm-hmm.
before. What were we saying? Side pieces are different. So side piece don't, she's just a girl that goes to the club, you know, mm-hmm. parties with the guy. When a man is having an affair with a woman, he is, wasn't it an affair we were talking about, Vanessa, or was it something else?
No, we were talking the friendship between a mistress and a side chick.
It gets
conversation, and a side piece gets information. That's the difference.
We're talking about a mistress.
That's the difference?
Yeah, that's the difference. There's a huge difference.
Wait a minute. Let me get a mistress gets what now?
Mistress get conversation, and a side piece get information.
And a side piece gets information.
That's what I thought it was.
So the side piece
gets conversation, but the mistress gets information. Because the mistress is usually the one that the man confides in.
Okay, that's a conversation. That's something that we actually are getting intimate and we're having emotional connection and conversation. A side piece is getting information. I'm giving you details. I'm giving you detailed list of, I have kids, don't call me, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? A conversation means I'm sitting down, and you know, like we do, we're getting to know each other. I know your ins, your outs, your do's, your don'ts, your pluses, and your minuses. That's the difference between the two. So it's right.
So you're saying with a side piece, there's no emotional connection to that at all?
Come again?
So with a side piece, there's no emotional connection to that at all, though. That's just...
It's more sexual. It's more sexual connection. I'm not saying that it can't be emotional if someone, maybe emotional at some point. But it starts out, if you look at the side piece, it's been around for years and years and years. And sometimes as long as the wife.
You're breaking up a little bit.
You have to think about the quality of men, because side pieces want the football players, the basketball players, the entertainers, the athletes. Mistresses, they want the businessman, stability, just like the wife wants.
Mm-hmm.
So they want the businessmen, the business bankers, the investors, film producers. They want people in a stable environment. They don't want basketball players and singers and dancers and rappers. They don't want all that. That's what side pieces want. And then they go on to the next city, and then you've got a couple of more side pieces. Simple.
Okay.
They may get a Gucci.
That's how I look at it.
They might get a little Gucci bag or a little Louis Vuitton bag and keep it moving. See, mistresses get bank accounts.
And households and get left money
house
bills they just get the stability. So it's not right, but unfortunately, like I said before, there's not that many great men in the world. There's more women in the world than there are men. And unfortunately, women are sharing their husbands, because most married men understand how to wine and dine a woman. They understand commitment. They understand me, you know what I'm saying? So it's not right, but it happens. And it's been going on forever. It's not just like a new fad or something. It's been going on forever.
Right. I mean, that's what a concubine is, basically a mistress.
A mistress, exactly. So it's nothing different about it. It's just now they give it this side piece and they make it look like it's just this, you know, new crazy thing that's just happening. It's just been going around forever.
Well, I mean,
the new term is just side piece. The girls have lowered their standards.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The girls have lowered their standards.
Yeah. They lowered their standards.
If you're going to be married to a married man, what are you getting out of the deal to do it? Just because you can say, well, most, like you say, side pieces do what? They want athletes. They like that glitz and glamour. They don't want, they just lower their standard. They just really, like you said, a Gucci purse or a pair of shoes and a nice dinner and went to the hotel room and spent the weekend. I mean, that's the waste of freaking time and energy. But you also look at the age demographic. Those women are a lot younger. They're like, they're young. They're very young girls that are doing it. They're considered side pieces. If you look at a mistress or someone that's been around, they're usually about the same age as the wife, and she knows her role and position. A mistress can be in the same room with him and his wife, and you would never know. You put a side piece in the room with them, everybody and their mama is going to know that he's messing around with this girl. Because they don't know their roles and position. If you're going to play the game, you play it right or don't play it at all.
Okay, Vanessa.
Okay. All righty. Got that role.
I mean, what?
Vanessa, were you a mistress before?
Wow.
No, I haven't been a mistress, but I mean, I've been someone's emotional mistress before, though. I have. It still is.
Yeah. Okay.
So that emotional mistress,
How am
not
I?
Not a physical one, but not a physical, huh?
Yeah, we're not physical. We've never had sex, but he's been in my life for 10 years, and he's done a whole lot for me. And I know everything that goes on in his life, his wife, his family, his grandkids, and we've been doing it for 10 years. When he's upset about finance, something going wrong with his business, he don't talk to his wife, he talks to me.
Hmm. That takes away from him, and that doesn't take away from the deal with him and his wife. I mean, he's kind of doing.
Yeah, it does. We talk about. Yes, we talk about that. But he's one of his men. Like when he has financial issues going on, he wants to figure it out. He needs to vent. He don't want to worry his wife with it, because he knows she's gonna flip out and be nagging him. He can't get it fixed.
Right.
She's nagging in his ear. So he calls me and he vents and he's upset and this is what's going on. This is what I'm having to do. And he always fixes it. And his wife doesn't ever know. And they say I keep their home happy. Really, I do. Because when he's upset and pissed off, he calls me. He don't go vent all that to her. He vents it to me. And I can handle it because I'm not screwing him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't really have like a. Well, I mean, I won't say you don't have a personal stake in it as well, though, because clearly that's just a friendship, though. But aren't you, you know, you are taking away from the, like, a certain part of that dynamic, though. But by the same token, it's not your fault because he's coming to you and confiding in you instead of her.
Well, I don't think, for me, is he knows his wife. He knows his wife. And he knows his household. He knows what she can handle. He knows what she can't handle. He knows what it was going to cause conflict in his house. He knows that stuff. If it gets to a point that, we talk about it all the time. I always say, this person, if it comes to a point where you're not going to be able to fix this, you're going to have to talk to her about it. And it's agreed. That's what he would do. But he always seems to manage to fix the situation. He just don't want to hear the nagging about, oh, my God, is this not going to work? Or, oh, my God, this is going to happen. You should do this. You should do this. Men can't think like that. They don't need someone nagging in the ear, and your wife is going to do that. Your girlfriend is going to do that. And so we talk about everything. He knows everything that's going on in my life. I know everything that's going on in his life. I know my position. I know my role. I don't call his phone. I don't leave no messages. I don't do all that. When he needs to talk, we talk. If I need to talk to him, I call. I know what time to call. I know what time his schedule is. I know what time he goes home. I know what time he does this. I know it all. So it's been like that for 10 years. I do. I know when he's off work. I know when he's on vacation with his wife. I know all of that. So I don't text him. I don't do all that. Just send him pictures. I don't do any of that.
Okay. And now you rifled all that off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
You sound like but you're just an emotional side chick.
Yeah, and I'm not an emotional side chick. I'm his emotional mistress. See,
emotional
his side chick would know none of the stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't be. I mean, it's not like I'm sleeping with this man and doing anything like that. What I do, and to me, I call it an emotional mission because he comes to me with all the stuff that's going on in his life, which most people say you should go to your wife with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you should be sharing this with your wife. You should be telling. But see, some people understand more information you tell certain people, they can't handle it. I mean, so if he go and tell his wife every time something is going on and it's something he can figure out, he sometimes needs to just vent. He just want to get it off his chest and figure it out and figure out how I need to do this. I give him advice about his marriage. I tell him, we should try this. But he don't really have no major issues because he don't vent all his being pissed off at anybody but me, really. But, you know, and it's not often, but, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff. He's always supportive of my business. He's supportive of my children, my life. He's done a lot of stuff financially for me. So
it works. He's done a lot of stuff financially for you.
Yeah, he has. He's done a lot in 10 years, a lot.
Okay.
It doesn't make it right. I'm not saying by any means that it's right. It's just, that's just what it is.
Yeah, but once again, you know, I'm really not trying to, like, judge or be the moral compass here as well, though. But from a moral standpoint, hello, you have infiltrated this relationship to a certain degree.
I knew him before he had a wife. I didn't infiltrate anything. I knew him when he was getting divorced from his first wife, And I was there when he went through all the pain and suffering, and then he met this new wife. And I was there through the wedding and all of that, what he was planning, the stresses. I went through all of that with him and have been there since. So I'm not infiltrating anything. I didn't go after him and say I wanted to just, no, it wasn't nothing like that. I met him in one situation, mm-hmm. and it ended up, we just became very close like that. We just wasn't anything sexual. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I know you wouldn't go there anyway, so, you know.
No, I'm not doing that. I mean, no.
And you know, it could be categorized as a friendship or a close friendship, though, and plus you have history. So,
yeah, we have history, but I've also been somebody's side chick before, too, so.
I couldn't do it. You know, being somebody's side dude, I couldn't do it.
Well, I think it's yours. It's how you handle it. I call it a side chick because I just felt like I didn't really want a relationship with him either. You know what I'm saying? And
you didn't want a relationship with him either, but
no, I didn't want a relationship with him. Now, the women that he had or the woman that he had or whatever, she wanted the relationship. I didn't. I just needed sex at the time. Simple as that.
Okay. All righty. Well, I mean, far be it for you not, but then again, I've never known you to just not brass tack something anyway. Okay.
Way to keep it 100, Vanessa.
I mean, I own my mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I own them, and not that they're great, and I'm proud of them. That's why I can talk about anything that's gone in my life because I've done it, and I know the do's and the don'ts and the bad and the dysfunctions and the things you shouldn't do and what happens. You know, I get all that, so it makes it easier for me just to say it because I'm not really ashamed of what I've done because I own it and I did it, and I. That's just what it is.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'll never have to knock you when it comes to ownership. I mean, I'll never. No.
If you don't own what you've done in your life, people can use it against you. They try to hurt you. So if I own it, it's not on rent for you to throw in my face. So it's mine already. And that's how I look at it. Anything that I've done, that makes sense, what I said?
I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you can't really, you know, like hurt somebody though if they already know, and you know it's not a surprise. You can't, you know, they're aware, so you can't. You don't have anything to hurt them with. You know, try as you may,
you just have to just deal with it, and you deal with, you know, and you go through all the, you know, why, you know, the guilt and feeling bad and why did I do it, and you know, and people are vicious. People will hurt you, so. If I put it out there and I tell you, it's because I own it and it doesn't bother me. Someone's opinion or what they think or if they judge me or say you shouldn't have done this and, oh, my God, karma. I didn't been there and karma then came back and went back and came back so many times. I'm used to her. So,
damn.
And I'd be like, hey, what's up, karma? You back again? So, you know.
Because
I know there's a consequence to everything that we do. Why are you laughing?
Wow, damn. Okay, cool. Now, with that, you know, I haven't been the side piece. I haven't been, you know, like the emotional mistress, you know, as well as the side piece. You know, is most of the benefit like material? Because I know there can be an emotional attachment with that though. Because you're only getting a piece of that individual, like, you know, you're only there for like one specific purpose, or maybe or if worst come to worst too. But you know, the only thing I can really see when it comes to a benefit for them though, you know, is, well, a long term, well, actually, like something that would actually be considered a benefit would be what, material.
No, not
just
necessarily.
Like you were
not with my friend.
It wasn't material.
It's not, no. It's like we share a lot of stuff. You know, I feel like I'm emotionally attached to him in certain ways. Like when I have issues going on or something going on in my life or something's going on, he's there. He's never not been there.
Okay.
And so it is an attachment that you have with someone. So it's not just the materialistic things he does for me or the financial things he does for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just also kind of being that strong force and that type of person in your life that you can always depend on and talk to. And it's been a really good friendship as well. But I call it a mistress because he does have a wife.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And in a lot of people's eyes, he shouldn't be talking to any other woman. He should not be bitten his feelings. He shouldn't be doing all that. But if his wife knew half the shit he was having to go through to make sure that she was happy, they would have fights and arguments all the time.
That much, huh?
Come again?
That much, huh?
I mean, yeah, he goes through a lot of stuff. Like, you know, he owns a couple of businesses. You know what I'm saying? So it's always something going on. You know, he runs her business, and he supports everybody, and he wants to make sure she's happy. But sometimes things happen, and he has to shuffle things around, and he has to figure it out. And she's just one of those people that would be like, you should do this and do this and do that and do this and do that. And he don't want to hear all that. So he fixes it and figure it out, and she's happy.
So it's pretty much just providing a way to work. I don't know.
I just out here get on my damn nerves. I'm not saying another word.
I mean, at least you're being honest.
Yeah, at least you're being honest. But we're not judging. We're just like, you know, I cannot wrap my head around that because maybe I'm just a traditionalist because, you know, I'm just old-fashioned. I'm a traditionalist. I can't, you know, no, I don't want to be number two. I don't want to have a. You know, I don't want to be involved with somebody, and all I get is a piece of that.
Well, you should never be number two. Yeah. You should always be the main person.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, side dude. I'm gonna be main dude. I know.
Okay. You have to also think sometimes the main person is really. The side person really gets more of him than the actual real person. If you were having, say if the mistress, if I was having, I won't even say myself, if someone is a mistress and they have been around for 10 years and they're having sex and they're spending time together, 9 times out of 10 the mistress know more about him than his wife does. Because he's being his authentic self to her. He's putting on this front to be this great person to his wife. So 9 times out of 10, she's getting 80%, and his wife is only getting 20.
Yeah.
Even though the wife got the ring and I live the house and I got this and I got all, she has a lot of materialistic things. But when it comes to emotional connection,
true.
The sex, it's all these things that she got going on. His mistress or his side piece is getting all of that. I mean, his mistress is getting all that. And so she's at home getting all the materialistic things, but she doesn't have her man 100% because the majority of him is with someone else that's completing him and making him happy. He just has loyalty and respect and trying to keep his marriage in some kind of tactfulness. You know what I'm saying? So even though people look at mistresses and side chicks as these horrible people, they actually a lot of times save a lot of marriages, and a lot of times they know more about the man than the wives do.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why wives get so angry, because they know that she has the authentic him and they have more of a, you know, I need this, sex is boring now because we got kids and, the dogs and we got lives, we got a job, you know. They have that structured life, and when he's with her, he don't have to be that structured. He can just be himself and be goofy and whatever, you know.
So it's all about, like, you know, it sounds almost like, okay, business with you, but everything else with her.
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying it almost does. I said it is business, but I think that some women and men or whatever, when you get married, when that's why black men that I know always say they don't want to get married because they feel like it's going to change. In some respect, it does.
Yeah, you have to be realistic. It does change. But it can't be. But you don't necessarily have to turn it into some type of change. It almost really, all of a sudden equates to a death sentence, though. It's going to change. That dynamic has changed because the situation has changed. But by the same token, you don't necessarily, yeah, you don't have to actually turn it into something to where like you figure out like why the fact you're taking away from that because you are uncomfortable about whatever. That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, why does it have to change? If I met you and I was doing all of these things, I cooked, I cleaned, we're having great sex, and, okay, we have kids, and things say, okay, those things change, but you as your wife or the woman that you are shouldn't change into the, so drastically that you're not doing those same things with your husband anymore or you're not doing the same thing with your wife anymore. So it becomes more like a job when you get married. It becomes that there's no fun in our life. There's no dinners. There's no movies. There's none of that. It's all about business.
Yeah, but that can easily be adjusted though. That sounds too much like a cop out. When I was married though, I still went out. I still dated from May time forward as well though. And yeah, I still wound up actually dealing with with the day to day business. Still wound up actually dealing with everything that needed to be handled as well though. And at the same time though,
then why did
not,
you divorce?
You know, I had to feel,
Then why did you divorce?
Why did we divorce? It wasn't because of me. Mm-hmm.
If y'all were doing the same things and you guys were just, we adjusted to the day-to-day life, then why did it change? Why did you divorce?
Everything was fine with it, as far as I was concerned. It changed for her. She, all of a sudden, she didn't want to, she wanted to separate and all that stuff, too. Like, I never put it on the table.
Okay, so what did she tell her was the reason why she wanted to divorce? Like, what did she say? Did she just say what?
No.
If you don't mind,
she wanted a divorce.
Did she just say, I want a divorce?
Yeah, difficulties come into play, and the first thing you want to do is head for the heels. That's not how you take care of your problems.
Right.
You don't. And some people would rather fly. Instead of fight, it's fight or flight, one of the two, fight or flight. Some people would like to fight.
Do you think that it was something that just began? Do you think just because you had that one situation, she woke up and said she wanted a divorce?
Honestly never really went into great detail, though. I was still throwing the idea that she even put it on the table.
Because it was something that was brewing for a long time. Women aren't usually the ones that ask for divorces first. Not typically. It's usually the man that's asking for a divorce first. Because
at
some point, you were thinking everything.
Divorce.
That's what I'm saying. So you're not going to typically ask for anything because you don't think anything's wrong. Because one or two things is going on. Y'all don't have great communications, or it was fake communications. Because if you wouldn't have been sidetracked by why are you divorcing me, if you guys were communicating that there's a problem or she had a problem with your marriage. You see what I'm saying? If there was something going on, you should have sat down and talked about it. Even if y'all having a problem, she didn't just wake up in that one incident. That was just her final incident that she wasn't ready to deal with or she couldn't handle. So to you, you woke up like, oh, my God, why does she want a divorce? But it's something that's been going on and she's thought about for probably a very long time.
And did not communicate with me about it as well, though. As much as I communicated to her, she didn't bother to do that. And she didn't bother to return the favor. How can you even work with that? How can you even work with that as well, though? I'm reaching out. I'm trying to figure out, I talk with you going on. You're shutting down. And how am I supposed to, I'm still trying to figure out how the hell I'm even supposed to maneuver with that.
This lack of communication didn't just start then. It's something that was there when you're in the dating process that we overlook. If you go back and think about how you're dated, you may have had a conversation, but y'all didn't communicate. There's a difference. So people send a representative first because they want what they want first and not necessarily what they need first. If it's great sex or he's financially stable, she's very pretty, she got a great body, you have all these things that you guys want first. And then you realize when you're in it and the honeymoon phase is over, it's reality time.
You can have a dose of reality. Even with that honeymoon stage, you should still have a dose of reality there also. Okay.
Oh, no, because it's still, I love you, you're beautiful, you're perfect.
I know a lot of people don't have them.
No, it's a honeymoon time.
Huh?
I mean, you have that honeymoon time. Sometimes, like you say, some people don't. You know, they go right into, oh, my God, we got stresses going on in our marriage, and that's why they don't last, because we don't communicate the problem. So we let the problems fester, and then they turn into just explosive things, and then it's over. You know what I'm saying? So I'm real big on communication, and I used to do that in the beginning. I want us to know how to problem solve. You know, I want to know how we deal with situations and how, you know, good or bad. That's just what we should do. But we don't take the time because we're so anxious wanting to be in these relationships and so anxious to want to be married that we overlook all of the important things that really matter to make us to have a successful marriage.
Yeah. But see, with that as well, though, I mean, I can still be taken by, you know, by a woman's beauty, the way she carries herself and all that stuff too. But at the same time, though, I'm also, like, thinking realistically, too. Like, you know, okay, you know, where does this actually fit into the dynamic? What type of person is she is? You know, like that kind of thing, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm still going to be a realist when it comes to certain things as well, though. In other words, it's like I've known guys, and one time I even myself got caught up in the way of appearances only, caught up in exactly how somebody looks without learning how they are. And it's an automatic death sentence most of the time anyway. You know, because I've known some drop-dead gorgeous women that are some very, very ugly people. And you don't want to fool with them after that as well, though. That beauty means nothing when you find out exactly how evil they actually are or can be.
You say evil with such force.
I know,
yeah,
right?
They're freaking evil. I mean, I'm
wow, that's
beauty
coming from experience.
Their beauty isn't going to mean anything, though, when they grab that pitchfork and stab you in the ass with it. It's not going to mean anything.
Wow.
You know, for real, because I saw it myself, and I'm not making it up. That's how they are.
So how long did that relationship last for you?
That wasn't even a relationship, though. That's just somebody I knew. I wasn't going down that road. I saw what she was doing to some other dude. No way.
Well.
No. You see somebody else, she's literally setting somebody else on fire, and you think I'm going to go into that? No, ma'am. What in the world are the sound effects around here, though? We like a Universal City Studios? It sound like, yeah, it sounds like the crypto.
Yeah,
there,
I'm in the studio. We're in the studio.
Yeah, well, you need to talk it down a little bit, though. You feel me?
That's hilarious. You're filming.
Yeah, but yeah, you're filming. You're like, well, okay. No, for real, it sounded like a dungeon or something.
That could be interesting, too.
Oh, Lord.
We're filming that evil chick you were talking about.
Exactly.
No, I'm not. There's no way. I mean, no. that is totally horrible, though. But anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Okay.
Okay, side chick. You know, like, okay, so the, you know, is it better to be in that situation to where you are that side person as well like that? Because there's a lot of things you don't have to deal with, apparently.
No, it's not. It's never a great position to be in because everybody wants to be that main chick at some point. But you have to be a realist about it when you get into it. You know what I'm saying? You have to know what you're putting into it and what you're going to get out of it. And if you're going into this thing about I'm going to make him leave his wife, I'm going to make him leave his relationship, you're already setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, the man or that woman is 9 times out of 10 not going to leave that husband or that wife. You know, it's not going to happen. They're not going to leave as well, though. But you
got a chance of that happening. But for me, I don't want you to do that because I'm not going to become that woman that you're doing what you're doing to her with. And then I'm not saying people can't change. I will always have in my mind the things that you were saying to me and doing for me, and if you became my husband, are you going to get upset and do the same thing to me to someone else?
Yeah.
So I myself would never look in a situation and say, I want you to leave your significant other. I don't want you to do that. I need. I can't. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I would never want to be a main chick to someone that I was a side chick to.
No, but then you figure, like, you know, so the side chick could never become the main chick.
Well, for me, no, now, there's a lot of women that want to. That's their goal. They want to be that wife, but I'm a realistic person thinking if you do it to her, you'll do it to me. And I'm not saying a person can't change and you just can be his soulmate, but I don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, because I'm still like this, though. You know, some people change, most people don't.
Right.
So the chance of, like, that actually, like, becoming legitimate after that whole deal, no. It's a train wreck.
It messes with your psyche because you're always thinking in the back of your mind when or if I will he do this. And you become very paranoid.
Exactly.
You become that very insecure woman. You start questioning everything you do, everywhere he goes, when you weren't doing that before because you knew your role
and
position. And now you have a different role and position. You know how you feel, the guilt of doing what you did. It's a lot that go along with that. So I don't want to be with you like that. I just don't want to deal with it. But there's a lot of women that do. I know.
But some of them do try to aspire to be the main chick, though. They aspire to be the main chick, you know, because he said, like, he may leave his wife or something like that, or get her out of the way, or whatever the hell they do. And they say, no, you're playing that role, though. You get in that position. You think everything is gravy, but like you said, like in the back of your mind, though, you know, you could very easily, like if you did it to her, what's stopping them from doing it to you, though? That's why, like, you know, the notion of infidelity in any degree, though, still kind of actually sets you up for failure either way it goes, though, because, like you said, if he did it to one, he could do it to another. If he did it to them, he could do it to you. And so there has to be that underlying fear, though. So I guess the idea of the side chick and staying in the side chick's post, though, is like the ultimate safety net. You know what that is.
Exactly. But you also have to think about it, too. There's always bad to everything you do, right? There's always consequences to everything. See, every mistress or side chick is not sane. Okay? So men... I'm just speaking for men because men have to be very careful about when they make those decisions because we have a lot of shows based off of them doing that exact thing with side chicks and having these other women. You know what I'm saying? You have Fatal Attractions. You got all these things that being a side chick, they want that mistress, I mean, that wife role that they'll kill you for it. They will stalk you. They will tear your house up. I mean, it's a luck of the draw. You know, that you get this woman that gets her own position and is cool with the situation because every woman say they cool with it in the beginning, or men say they cool with it in the beginning until feelings and emotions get involved and people get crazy.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
You know what I'm saying? It's dangerous no matter which way because you don't know if that wife's going to snap. You don't know if that side chick is going to snap. You don't know what she's willing to do to get you. And that's why I always tell me if you're going to, I'm about honesty and truth. Be honest with me. If you're going to lie to somebody, lie to your wife. Don't lie to me. I'm sorry.
But like you were saying, like,
lie
like
to your
saying,
wife.
That woman, a piece of a man, aspires to actually be more than that at one point or another, though, whether she actually fully accepts that or not. Right?
Okay, they
don't want that though because ultimately most women want that. They want what other women have though. That, you know, not necessarily that man, but a man.
Right.
But that's why you don't tell everybody your business though. This is why you do not talk about your man and his penis size and heart and the sex or any of that with another woman because now she's gonna say, well, I want that too. You gotta be real careful.
And it's not necessarily about even just the sex. It's more
when you start talking about how
did he take care of you,
right?
He buy you flowers and he rubs your feet. See, those are the things that we're listening to. See, money, you know, or sex, we know we could probably get. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a real relationship like you have, but when you start posting, like I don't post my relationships and stuff all over Facebook. I just don't do all that because when people see what they wanted. And the same thing with men or women. They see somebody that's
right.
treating you great, and he's taking you to dinners, and he bought you flowers, and he bought you this neat tip. You know, we may be doing it because we're so grateful to our significant other. But that one woman out there that's lonely is going to start following when you say, I went to the club such and such. They're going to pop up at club such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking my wife to a special dinner at such and such. That woman that wants what you have because you don't know what people are thinking is going to be right there. It may be somebody that he knew in passing, somebody he went to school with one day. You know what I'm saying? You don't never know. That's why I don't post anything on social media about my personal life. And just like Crystal said, these women will do, women or men, will do anything to have what you have, especially if you're happy with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
The bad
problem is, as soon as y'all break, you see what I'm saying, they will do anything. And I actually had a friend that did that before. She started looking for this guy everywhere he was going. I'm like, why are you obsessed with this guy? You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And it's like she wanted what he, you know, what his girlfriend or wife had. And I'm like, that's crazy.
But you don't even know if that's the case, though, if it's been put on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Because Facebook is not real.
Well, not real enough.
Somebody says to me, it's not real. Like,
it's
it
not
is real.
Facebook is not. Because it's all about perception, what you perceive it to be.
Because
I could be walking, you know what I'm right. You know what I'm saying? I could be walking in the
y'all
sand. Like, I could pull over, headed my way to Dallas. I could have stopped over and took a route and went to Florida, you know, took a picture. Like I'm in the beach, like I'm just vacationing in the beaches, so you know what I mean? And got
with
back
my
in
man
my car
or something, right?
Right. And
it's
got
like
back in
people,
my car and I'm by myself.
Like when they when people pose
it's
by
like,
these nice cars and they don't even be their car.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
My favorite.
You
I love
know.
To see.
Yeah,
my
like
favorite.
This is my
you
car.
See the guys leaning on the ground next to a Ferrari
yeah.
or something. You already know that's not his car. Come on.
That's not your car. Yeah. But, you know, and I would say majority of stuff may be true. But there's some stuff that you see. Because, you know, I see people that basically, you know all about the wedding from the time he proposed, the ring, where they had they, you know, the wedding reception is going to be. They, you know, every single part of their lives. You know when they're going to be out of town. You know when they're in town. You know when, you know, and it's like that is just too much information. There is a lot of unstable people in the world, and when you start displaying your whole life on social media, people know when you're at home. People know when you're home by yourself. They know when your man is out of town. They know when your kids aren't there. It's just too much information.
Yeah.
And so I just don't think, and like Crystal said, you know, you I just don't believe that you should, I guess she calls it fake, fake Facebook, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you just there's some things that are true and some things aren't, but some people don't know the difference. And so even though I'm making up a story and saying my man bought me a ring and flowers and all this stuff, people still believe it. And they still be, they'll target and try to figure out where you're at and what you're doing, and just so they can try to get your significant other. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that is amazing. But yeah, you made a really good point though. You know, the idea that you know, Facebook, yeah, it is perception. It mainly is perception, unless you can actually prove
it. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's right up there with like online, you know, like a fake profile on an online dating site, though. I dated a guy
that would make up stories and put on Facebook. Like if he was at the airport, he'll make up this story, and he'll put it on Facebook. Like he had a conversation with two people at a bar, and this happened and that happened. He made it up. I'm on standby. He'll make up a story and put it on Facebook. And people respond to that because they believe he was telling the truth. So,
wow.
It's all about perception.
True.
Okay, wait. What did he do, Crystal?
He would make up stories. So, like, if, because I don't want to tell who it is, but.
No, I
said,
like, good.
Huh?
Like, what's a story?
So, like, if he was on standby or the flight was delayed, he would make up a story like he was sitting at a bar having a drink, and this is one story he made up, and a woman comes to the bar, and a man is sitting next to him, a stranger is sitting next to him, and attempts to buy the lady a drink, but she doesn't want the man to buy a drink. It was a made-up story. He made it up. But
wow.
People, and it was like, well, what would you do? You know, and he's going, he's telling his story so, you know, truthful, like it's really happening, but it didn't happen. It was made up. And the reason why I know is because,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The reason why I know is because I was dating this guy, and he ended up literally sending me a message saying, does this sound good before I put it out there? I was like, did you just make this up? He was like, yeah.
But does he do it, wow. like, you know, some just as scenarios, you know, like?
No. He doesn't say scenarios. He'll say, like, he's like, this just happened to me just now. He'll make a, he's lying, basically. He's making a story.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
he wants his life to seem like it's so interesting.
Oh, okay. I got you. I was like, so
wow.
is there some reason that he's...
Yeah,
you know,
he wants
know,
to make it seem like his life is so interesting.
He's doing all these different things, and this stuff is happening, and okay, I got you.
Right. That's why I say Facebook is all about perception. So you can see someone on Facebook, and she could be the most beautiful girl you ever seen. She's fashion forward. She's doing this, that, other. She has a big ring and everything. And but that's all perception. It's all what you see. Because you don't know, her life could be horrible, but because she put it on Facebook,
it became
way.
You automatically assume it's a big deal. And
her life could suck. She could be homeless.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? It's funny you say that. Because I one of my friends has a friend that's like that, and she does... She posts, you know, like you said, her ring, all the new clothes that her husband did. And behind closed doors, she's a very miserable person.
Right.
She's very sad. She's always, you know, clouded and assessing. And how he makes up is he compensates, you know, he compensates by buying her stuff. And he's cheating on her all over the place. And it's not like he's discreet about the cheating. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But because she has this lifestyle that she has, like she said, displayed on Facebook, that she has this wonderful life and this great husband that she has boasted for the last 5 years, she would never go back and say, okay, I'm leaving my husband. Here's the ring back. She's not going to do it. So she'd rather stay in a abusive relationship because she has put it on Facebook, and she said that.
Wow.
She don't want the world to know that her man's a liar and a cheater, and he doesn't care, and, you know, she doesn't want the world to see that, but she shows every single present he buys her.
Wow.
So Crystal was 100%. It's very much deception. A lot. It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
So... Okay,
Yeah, I'm good. I've really actually soaked in and learned a lot from you ladies. I really have.
You did what?
I've really soaked in like and took a lot of things you ladies have said though, and I really that is loud.
Sorry.
Girl, that's like a coffin door.
It's so creepy,
isn't
it? It's creepy.
Huh?
It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. I thought dressing a little bit, you know.
Welcome to my house. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, please stop that really quick. You know, I'll be like, well, you know, welcome to my house, you know. I could use that during Halloween.
Yeah.
I mean, that was freaking loud. I'm like, yeah, I don't even have sound effects like that, though. I'm jealous now.
Huh.
Give me some sound effects, though, really. Okay.
Michael,
crazy,
when you get
though,
married,
but, hey, huh?
When you get married again, I have a sex dungeon?
No.
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
A sex dungeon?
Yeah, you and your wife have a sex room.
I'm almost scared to ask what a sex dungeon consists of.
How you go from side pieces? First of all, how you go from a side piece to a sex dungeon?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really?
I thought it was
a city. Yeah, I mean, really, though, really, honestly, how did we get here?
I was just asking a question. Just been, I'm working on something. So
yeah, you said a damn sex dungeon. I'm like, really? I mean, like, okay. Okay, I got a joke for you ladies. I saw this today earlier on Facebook, though, and Leeras Wells actually posted this. A male coworker says to his female coworker, "Your hair smells good today." The female coworker walks into the boss's office and says, "I want to file a sexual harassment claim on my male coworker." The boss asks, "What happened?" She replies that he said my hair smells good. And the boss said, "That sounds like a compliment." The lady said, "Yeah, but he's a midget."
Oh. Hey, you were talking about my sex dungeon question? Really?
That's hilarious.
I thought that earlier. I had to spell it out. It's hilarious. Wells. He put that on social media. I immediately saw it on Facebook and shared it, though. I had to go and share that with the audience as well, though, because that was just too funny. I was on the floor. I'm sorry. Yeah, but that was just a joke, and I understand it is kind of crazy, though. But you talking about what I'm doing in a dungeon.
And you talk about, yes, yours was just equally as bad. Well, it's not bad, but,
You know what? Okay. I'm gonna take that way down. Okay. And you act like sex dungeon, like a I could just go to Walmart and pick one up.
First box. Like, seriously. Like, see, I just wanted to know. It's just something I'm working on, and it's a question, so I asked the question.
Am I really gonna tell you that kind of information?
Why wouldn't you?
Why would I? Why would I? I mean, you know, if I had a sex dungeon, you'd never know.
I mean, what's the big deal?
The only way you know is if you were my wife.
You are so funny.
I would invite,
let me see, Crystal will probably go.
Where?
I'll text you the website, but she's a friend of mine and they're having a show in Dallas. She'll be in Dallas, actually. I would have to come to the one here with me.
Does it sex dungeon where you are?
It's not a sex dungeon. Oh my gosh, I was just asking a question. No, it's like erotic poetry and in theater.
Okay,
but it's not like,
say,
like
so
not
we went
naked.
From sex dungeons to poetry. So we went from the side piece to sex dungeons to poetry now.
It all ties together.
I guess
yeah,
so.
You can tell
now,
poetry in a sex dungeon to your side piece.
Your side piece.
We have whittled this down to the less than 2 minute mark, though. I gotta close this out before we wind up bringing up some more freaky stuff. But I want to thank the ladies for joining me tonight, though. I want to thank everybody else that actually listened to the show as well, though. And as always, with 90 seconds on the clock, I want to actually wish everybody a great rest of the week, a great weekend, and join us back here next Tuesday here on the Mike and Mitch Show on blogtalkradio.com. And once again, cue the music. 'Cause I gotta go.